electric lines. He had a desk. He put insulation in. And he really thought he was going to use the station, but he never did. And that was 2 or 3 years ago. He just sat there. The vent that the birds were in was the hole that brought the coax in to that shack and also to his shack on the second floor of the house. So there's that. He was very impulsive. He wanted to buy a bicycle. So the first bike store he went to, he saw this bike and he bought it within like 15 minutes. And I think maybe he rode it 3 or 4 times. I know he went to the fireworks, but he never really used it. Let me take a break here. He got interested in radio-controlled airplanes down at Cedar Creek. So he said, oh, I'm going to get into this. So he got a permit or a license, but he never followed up on that either. He used to buy things that he never used. He bought a laser printer, which sat for years before he hooked it up. When I went to Dayton, he had me buy him a DMR HT radio, and that never got used. What else? When Radio Shack went out of business and some of the other stores went out of business, Andy would tell people, oh, I've got all these parts. What do you need? And he would give them away. He was very generous. He kept saying, I need to downsize. You've heard him tell that on the air to everybody. I need to downsize. So why don't you put some stuff on the swap and shop net every week? Nah, maybe sometime I'll just have a flea market at my house and invite everyone over, and I can get rid of the stuff that way. How ironic. On the jigsaw puzzle, I think the first puzzle he got was a 1,000-piece puzzle, and he found that there were 2 missing pieces at the end, and he was really mad. He contacted the company, and they sent him another one. But he really got into the jigsaw puzzles for a while. He didn't only talk about technical things. Sometimes I would hear him philosophizing and asking probing questions, which led to all kinds of deep conversations on the repeater. So it wasn't just all technical. And as people said, he didn't really care about money. He joined a gym. He went once. Take a break. And then he paid for 7 years. Every monthly, it was taken out of his checking account. He never went. We finally convinced him to cancel his membership. But he spent a few thousand on that gym membership. And I think Andy AZG was telling me that he was paying for hooking up an alarm system to a central station, but it wasn't connected, and he was paying that every month. On the speedway that Rich was talking about at Riverhead, Andy used to go to the Freeport racetrack or speedway when he was younger, and there's a BJ's there now. And the other thing is he was into modern jazz and had a nice collection of CDs and records and would always be listening on his radio when he was in the car when he wasn't talking on the repeater. And that's about it, WA2SE Radio.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Yeah, that further fleshes out. He had a big appetite for things where he just didn't have the time to do them all. So some of them he would start, and others he would just think about starting. You know, I mean, there's very few people at the age of 70 who decide that I really should learn differential calculus. You know, it's not something that usually comes up in people our age.
KB2IQN. Thankfully, you can learn new things at any age, from what I've read. So he was probably onto something, but it was going to take a while.
No, I agree, Chris, and I'm the last person to poo-poo any adventure of learning new things. You know, I try my luck as best I can. But, you know, sometimes there's a real steep speed bump. If you have no history of things beyond, say, geometry and algebra, it's a bit of a speed bump to go from there to differential and integrals and such. But, no, I didn't dissuade him. I said I wished him luck and told him that I'd help him any way that I could.
Well, having taken all of that, I can say that algebra is the basis for pretty much all of it, because algebraic operations are the basis for all the calculus, except for things along the lines of trigonometric substitution in calculus. But that's like, you know, pattern matching with integrations. That's part of the difficulty with some of that higher level differential calculus, is that the path to actually a solution is not something that's necessarily straightforward unless you're using a computer program. And these days with computer programs, he probably could have done quite a bit. And especially if he had gotten into, let's say, the artificial intelligence chat, he probably could have done a bit with that too. That's kind of interesting these days. So, but anyway, he did a lot with what he had, is the thing. So regardless of whether he actually completed that or not, I'm not sure it necessarily mattered. It mattered that he had the interest. It mattered that he actually did a lot with what he decided to do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, one thing that fascinated him for some reason were Laplace transforms. He really wanted to figure that out.
N2VHZ Mobile.
Yes, Ken.
Hi, may I say a few words about my friend Andy?
Certainly.
Yeah, hi, I'm mobile in Nebraska right now, headed north. I was explaining to my children, they understood that he had passed, and I was breaking up emotionally. So, it was difficult. Excuse me. Anyway, I had explained to my children a little bit about how Andy was and what a beautiful man he was. And how we, late at night, when I would drive home, he and I would have private, well, over the air, we had conversations about our experiences on 9/11. And they were around midnight, your time. And where he worked and where I worked. And they were very emotionally charged. And we exchanged those conversations semi-private, because nobody was really on the air at midnight. And we enjoyed each other's company very much. And I'm going to miss him very much. And all I can say is, is that he's a very beautiful man, and he'll be missed. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ken. You kind of said it all. He was a great guy. He was a good friend. He was a kind, gentle man. He was a smart man. You know, I mean, you can go down a laundry list of things we should try to emulate as best we can. You know, and, you know, he cared about people. And I only wish people kind of made him, made it more obvious that they cared about him. I don't think he quite appreciated how much he was beloved among amateur radio operators that had any kind of interaction with him. And that alone is the only thing I'm particularly sad about.
W2HL.
Yes, Howard.
Yeah, he was, I just knew Andy for a long time. and I wish I knew him more. I wish I knew him closer. It's boy, oh boy, I wish he imagined all of this about all of these accolades and how much beloved if he would have heard it. When and these things about ourselves or when somebody when they're alive, but maybe he's hearing. He was always giving of himself, and I remember he helped out. He was always eager to help out somebody. He was always eager to help me out, and I remember he was always eager, offering his help to Richie and to EO when he needed help, and he was a great guy. W2HL.
Thank you, Howard. This is AC2GS. Yeah, he will be missed. He didn't turn anyone down. No one, under any circumstance. And, you know, unfortunately, not everyone was as nice as he was. And if they did things that were not acceptable, at least to me and 99% of the population, he would give them a second chance and probably a third and fourth and fifth. Okay, Wesley.
Yeah, I want to talk about Andy. You mentioned 78, 70. And kind of reflection. What is so magical about it? Is it like some special warning or what? I mean, your reflection. Back to you.
I think there is someone who is trying to hit the repeater, but unfortunately he is 99.9% noise. Wesley, I'm not quite sure what you're alluding to there.
No, you said in our age 70 and you were talking about Andy, and I was kind of, what's 70? What is it? What is so special about it? Back to you.
No, it's just the nature of things. When you talk to most people, 65, 70, they're kind of talking about retirement. They're talking about taking life easy, taking up maybe a hobby. They're not considering the possibility of thumping through a college textbook on mathematics. Which can give some people nosebleeds. That's all I'm alluding to. I mean, I didn't try to dissuade Andy. I kind of knew that there was about 3,000 other things he was planning to do, and there were just so many days in the year and such. And like I said, I offered to help him. It didn't come of anything. I wasn't terribly surprised. But, you know, I mean, if you polled a bunch of people in their 60s of what they would like to do in the next 10 years, the number of people who would respond with differential calculus would probably not be very high.
Thank you very much, Dr. Roy. I do very much appreciate your comment. As always, great pleasure. Yes, you're younger than me. And look about yourself. You're always hungry for more, and you've got a lot. So was Andy. That need to know more. Back to you.
Well, yes, Wesley, I hope I have the repeater. I mean, that was one of the many commonalities between the two of us. I I always is just it's not just words when I end each technical net by suggesting to learn a new thing every day. I try my best to follow that advice. It's ancient as Greek philosophers are. I always am curious, and I would be very sad if for some reason I lost that sense of curiosity that Andy had in bushel baskets.
Thank you very much. And to you.
Okay, once again, there's some guy, I think, who's trying to hit the repeater or something, but he's not hitting, well, he's hitting it enough to trigger it, but he's 99.9% noise. So if you're out there and you hear me, either reorient your antenna, boost your signal, go out and climb a hill so that you're closer to the line of sight of the repeater, because I can't even make out if there's a human being talking. It's just all noise here. No, it's still noise. I'm sorry. Well, I mean, my suggestion would be either find a better location, a better orientation, or if you could get on to the Echo Link, you might want to try that. I'm not quite sure if there are empty slots in it. I think it only accepts 10 people. And I've jumped off of it to give people enough room, so you might try the Echo Link. Again, I am AC2GS. This is the Limark Technical Net special session to commemorate and give tribute to our fallen hero, Andy WA2CDL. To know Andy was to love Andy, and so this is a kind of a love fest. So who would like to go next? Okay, I'm not quite sure if you doubled with the person who's producing the noise or you're producing the noise, but this time I heard it's about 75-80% noise. So if there's anything that you could do to kind of lessen the background noise and make your signal more readable, I'd appreciate.
VCT, is this any better?
It's a little bit better, VCT.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I would enjoy listening to Andy. I've met him a few times at the campus. I really missed listening to him on Saturday night, and I like hearing you for shopping and producing as well as everything else you talk about, and so I'm sad to hear that he's not going to be around. And I think it would be good for us to motivate people to become hams, maybe by having ham fox hunts in his name and something that people could participate in and learn about the fun rather than field day, which is kind of boring to the non-ham. Back to that.
Okay. I mean, it's a matter of different strokes for different folks. There are, you know, I mean, unfortunately, Andy found it difficult to cajole people into fox hunts. The problem with, and I've had a lot of unfortunate experience in trying to motivate younger people into the hobby. I don't only belong to Kings County, to Limark, but I belong to Kings County Radio Club in Brooklyn. And I'm kind of one of the guys pushing for younger hams and introducing people into it. And I suggested that we attend maker fairs in the area because a lot of them are using telemetry for maker event things. And they would probably be interested in obtaining access to amateur radio frequencies for their telemetry. So there's a lot of things out there. The problem is, as I mentioned with Andy, that he's not jaded. Most young people, unfortunately, in my experience, tend to be somewhat technologically jaded. If you talk to them about radios and contacting distant stations, they pull out their cell phone and tell you that they could do it right now, right there. So, you know, I've tried to finesse them with moon bounce, which is a little bit flashier than most of what we kind of do as a hobby. It's very difficult. I wish there was an easy solution. I wish it was simple. And, you know, I'd love to tack Andy's name to any venture that might have some road to success that way. Yeah, unfortunately, you're dropping out of the repeater every so often. I pretty much can tell what you're saying. Nevertheless, I agree with you that they don't understand what radio is. Unfortunately, that's a kind of thing that's the problem with a lot of people. Very often, if I ask someone who should know better how a radio works, they will tell me that you plug it in and you turn it on and you talk on it. You know, it's very similar to how apparently TVs work. So I think now this is going to be a generalization because there are people who are intensely intellectually curious and want to know how everything works. But there's a large number of people who seem to not care, just as long as they know how to operate the controls.
I think part of it also might be unfamiliarity, if you will, because it's learning all the things about how things work is a relatively large investment in terms of space in one's brain. And it's something that needs, you know, to be maintained as well. Like, it will slowly fade if it's not used. So I can easily see younger people today looking, you know, sort of imagining what it is they know versus what, you know, what associated memory comes up when people ask, not having, you know, what's needed to really understand the questions being asked, and sort of like finding a way of answering that they don't need it because they don't have it, if you will. That's sort of normal human nature. To sort of it's sort of a shame defense, if you will, so that we can walk away with our pride. That's one possibility. KB2IQN.
AC2GS. Well, I think to a degree there's that. I don't think there's a binary all or nothing type of thing with understanding. I have generally perceived understanding more like onion skins. You learn a kind of vague concepts. Then if you're interested, you learn more refined ideas, and there's an infinite number of layers to the onion. And you don't have to, you know, grab the onion and bite it all with one bite. You can do bits and pieces. The only thing that's required is the curiosity, and, you know, maybe I'm just cynical in my old age. There's too many people that I talk to who are younger who don't demonstrate. They're interested in some things, but technology, they kind of shroud in this mystery that they don't even want to involve themselves in, which is unfortunate. I mean, there are certainly exceptions to the rule, and it's a pleasure to talk to young people who are curious and interested. And, you know, I try to kind of motivate them a little bit to consider amateur radio and radio theory and how RF works. It's important in modern civilization. It's the entire wireless environment is based on RF theory. Have not had a great deal of success, but I keep trying.
Roy, the teacher can be, because of the duplexing, there's two stations that we're trying to get in here. You have KB2M2N, and I think the other one is KB2ESY.
Oh, okay. I'm terribly sorry. So I'll just keep my finger off the push to talk. And if either of you want to throw out your call sign again?
Yes, KB2N from Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay. What would you like to say?
Thanks for the assist there, Rich, and hope all is well by you. This is Steve, KB2N2N in Boca Raton, Florida. Just a couple of thoughts about my old pal, Andy. And aside from amateur radio, which seems to be the main topic of conversation, I had many other endeavors with Andy. We bowled for years in different leagues with Richie and NTWJL and N2ION, Jeff, as well as K2SGT. We had a team going for 4 or 5 years there at one time, so it was a lot of fun. Andy tried his darndest to become a good bowler and really, really worked at it. And he really enjoyed that very, very much. Also, when I first got my 81 Corvette, I brought it over to his house and I left private, and he was like a kid on Christmas morning. He really, really enjoyed that. Couldn't believe I would let him drive it. I said, of course I will. Tool around the neighborhood. Let's go on a parkway with it. Come on. So he really, really enjoyed that. He was always up for some kind of adventure, as Larry S.U.H. alluded to. I know Larry was known him a long time. Met Andy in 1988. One thing I wanted to say about him is that he had a great sense of humor. He could take the abuse and give it back in a certain kind of way that was definitely Andy. So that she comes, and I hope we held up through the link here. Again, Steve, KB2NQN, the guy who wrote the article in 1999 for the Limelight blog, Andy's House of Detention. Go ahead.
Okay, Steve, we heard you nice and loud. Everything was readable. Okay, so you coined that remarkable phrase even back then. So it's been up for a long, long time, apparently.
Glad to hear it's still being used. I sent a couple of the guys, I think Lou's got it at NY2H, a copy of the article, so please feel free to print it if you like, and it'll be a good remembrance. He's a great guy, great sense of humor, and I'll miss him terribly. Back to Nick.
Okay, very good. If you send me a copy, I'll put it up on my link page. I'm on QRZ, AC2GS.
Will do, and thank you, Lee. Good to hear all the old guys. Miss you guys very, very much. 73.
Okay, 73, Steve. Thank you very much. The other gentleman who I didn't hear because I was busy talking too much?
WA2AAD.
Yes, what would you like to say?
Hi, I this is Charlie. I'm out in Pennsylvania, and I'm using Echo Link. And firstly, I'd like to thank Larry, WA2SUH. He made an interesting connection between Andy and I. Andy and I knew each other, gosh, it's probably 50 years. In Merrick, New York, when I used to ride my bicycle over to his house. We used to talk equipment. He was the same guy. He used to fix some of my stuff. I was probably 14, and he was probably, 18 or something like that. I'm finding all this very, very fascinating. I was a very early member of Limelight and involved with the early putting up of the repeater, the first repeater. A few months ago, Larry contacted me after much, I guess there were several people trying to find me, and the guy that finally found me on the internet was Andy. I received a few emails and a few messages on Facebook, and I was lucky enough to have a Zoom call with Larry, Andy, and a few other hands from that day and from my time on Long Island. So I just wanted to send my condolences, you guys are doing a wonderful job this evening, and it's a great use for amateur radio, I think. I'll yield at that point back to Ned. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Charlie. This is AC2GS, by the way. Yeah, we've done a few, unfortunately, for other fallen heroes, and certainly Andy deserves it. And, you know, I only wish I could impress upon him when he was alive how important he was to the rest of us. Again, very, very humble guy. Didn't really understand how important he was to everyone. I just wish I could have made that more obvious to him. But you can do what you can do.
KGKLD.
Yes, Richie.
So the fact that the gentleman mentioned he's from Pennsylvania, by the way, KGKLD. I was monitoring you one day, and a guy got on with a three call, and he said, does anyone know where Andy Kirschenbaum is? And I guess I looked at the clock, and I came back to the guy and said, I guess he's on his way back from home, from work. And the guy said that he had just driven in from Pennsylvania, and he had his radio for 2 years, and he was going to get it come hell or high water. And I think he did. I think he did. KGKMB. But let me add one other thing, Roy.
Sure.
It's something of a paraphrase of what he said at the funeral. And she said that she was talking to Andy one day, and Andy, I think kind of out of the blue, said, well, how do you feel about birds? And she said, I hate birds. The next day she came home from school, and Andy was there with a bird cage full of birds. She said, I told you I hate birds. And Andy said, well, now you have birds. And then he said, and you know what? We had them for a long time. K2K Andy.
Okay, that's a cute story. Well, once again, I am AC2GS, Roy. This is the LiveMark Technical Net. This episode is dedicated to the memory of Andy WA2CVL, who passed away a few days ago. And we all miss him, and we all want to tell each other stories of how much he brought light into all of our lives. And who would like to be the next one up?
N2H2H.
Yes, Andrew. We have another Andrew.
Yes, thank you, Roy. And following what Richie just said, I'm sorry I didn't tell Andy. I didn't like test equipment. I think Andy knew how important he was in my life because of the many times that I call him. I actually look forward to talking to him almost every day. But when he was busy, I let up. And I've always enjoyed my conversations with Andy. And I will let it drop just in case. So, yes, I recognize Andy as a talented radio technician. I'm not a professional radio technician, but I do get paid as a professional mechanic and electronic just after COVID. My own equipment that I've been, I found Andy extremely useful. Once we got our rhythm going, he definitely had enough, a lot more experience, especially with radio equipment, that he can point me in the right direction, which he did on two or three occasions that I can remember specifically, that I was actually floundering. I had no idea what to do next. And we did have the schematics out, and just over the phone, Andy with the same schematic as me, and if no, he is a teacher for professionally for the service there or for his job. But yeah, he had a lot of talents. He was good with people. He could tolerate me, which means he was definitely talented. I mean, he was definitely a standout in that aspect. I recognized it right away. And even though he didn't work on his cars, I do that, of course. I have a 25-year-old truck, but and as long as she keeps, I can keep her running, I'll keep her running. But what do you think, Roy? One thing I didn't know is, does he actually have a degree in electronics? Because he really did know how to troubleshoot.
That's a good question. I don't recall really having a conversation with him about colleges whether he went to a technical company to kind of learn things. I think he just picked it up because he was doing all this stuff when he was going to high school. So I think he just kind of graduated high school and moved on. I could be incredibly wrong about this. It's just something we never really discussed.
Well, I have no academics myself, so I could, that maybe that's why I held him in such high regard, because he's doing it. I'm sort of doing it, but not with radio repair. He's not to his level, and I could see he. I just wish I could. And I'd be all set. it was a cherished experience technically, besides our conversations about many other subjects. Again, he almost, I used to be more of a seeker of knowledge. I think he was almost, he was making me want to go back to becoming a more seeker of knowledge and learning new things rather than just talk about retirement. So he had that effect on me, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall any conversation that was based upon the concept of retirement. He didn't really think in terms of retirement. He kind of looked forward to the next challenge. You know, every so often when he would mention, other people tonight have mentioned he was thinking about moving down south. At another time, he sort of told me that he had kind of shifted from moving down south to having a summer home down south. And I kind of said, well, what are you going to do with the part-time job? And, you know, his answer was, I don't know. So I don't think he ever saw retirement in his future. And because he was such a valuable worker, there would always be people willing to employ him. So, you know, just the way it ended would be the way it ended. You know, even if he made it to the age of 90, I think he would still be taking jobs like John KC2WGB did until the last year of his life. You know, you always, you know, some people are just not designed to retire.
Well, yes, when I spoke about thinking about retiring, he already had a job lined up or something, it seemed to me, which is not common for somebody to do. Even when I spoke to him years ago, I forgot what the occasion was. We kind of on and off, but I only was close to him recently. Of course, after I went to his house a couple of times or a few times, I got to know him better. So you know, because you know me, I don't like bothering anybody, but. Andy, I had a bother for sure. Yeah, he was on speed dial for sure. And any chance I had, I would even if it was 5 or 10 minutes before the news, I'd say hello. And let me let it drop. Yeah, besides a secret knowledge, he definitely seemed to have a good work ethic. I kind of was resisting that in my present situation, but he was always trying to give good advice. He was definitely trying. Yeah, but back to that puzzle. I remember when I called with the puzzle, they sent him another puzzle, but that I had mentioned to him, but don't you have to do the whole the puzzle all over again? It's not like they sent you the 3 or 4 missing pieces from a photograph. If they sent him a whole new puzzle, you'd have to start all over again. Did he actually do that?
Yeah, my understanding was he started from scratch with that one, and he put it together, and he put it off to the side. And the plan was he had done 2 of those in the couple of years that I talked to him about it. And the plan apparently was to mount it and put it on his walls, but he had yet to get around to that.
Yes. I think I told him when, as a family, we put together a large puzzle like that. It did actually get glued onto a piece of cardboard and put into a frame and on the wall. You know, we did it as a family. Maybe that's why we actually went that extra step. I guess he didn't. When you do it yourself, it's just an accomplishment, and that's it. But I think it's a testament of how much time and patience you have to do that. Just like with this with repairing, you have to have the patience to do this type of work. It can be very tedious. So he definitely was special. I recognize him as being special in so many ways. I can't even begin to name them all. I don't want to take up too much time. But he definitely had these qualities. And I think he was always in demand, probably, but he always seemed to have the time to return my phone calls too, which was nice of him. Very prompt and very courteous, exceptional. Just exceptional qualities. I think he would have been an asset to any organization.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Andy. I think one of the best things that happened was the day that Andy joined Limark. He left a impression on everyone that passed through. I don't know his relationship when he first joined, because, like I said, he was kind of like one of the runts, one of the kids of the group, not the old-timers. But, you know, he kind of grew into one of the old-timers of the club and a very, very, very valuable member.
Well, for years. Actually, for years now, the picture I, of me and Andy was from about 5 years ago, I think it was. But I've always tried to talk to him when I went to the Hamfest, and he was always busy. But we just didn't click in that way. I mean, I had my own life, of course, and I was very busy, and he's busy, of course. It never worked out, but I always made a point to stop and say hello, and always was hoping that he wasn't busy doing something or somebody else wasn't already talking to him. So he was very popular, if I remember correctly, at most of the Hamfests, especially back in the day. It was almost like you couldn't get to him. So he was definitely highly in demand.
Yes, indeed. AC2GS, by the way. I told the story earlier. I'll repeat a shortened version. You know, he would always tell me, come on, come to the Hamfest. You'll hang out with me and then keep me company. And I would repeatedly tell him that every time I tried to do that, basically I ended up standing in the corner because he was busy either looking at a piece of equipment, talking to someone, trying to give him a piece of equipment to test, and he was very much engaged in what he liked the most. So he didn't really have time for small talk. And even when I parked myself at a table right next to him to do the 3D printing thing, I barely said anything to him because he was very busy engaged with the people who passed by his table. So, you know, that was not probably the best time to just socially engage with Andy. You know, any other time probably would have been much, much better because he would always take time to stop and talk to anyone. But, you know, when he's tuning up at the table, that comes first.
Yeah, that's it. I remember when he was trying to talk me into going out for a game of bowling, I said, okay, you know, this something more like I would do if I was retired. But I said, okay, if we go bowling, then you and me are going to go for jiu-jitsu lessons or something like that. I said, you know, I played football. I tried to do other things the same shape. But if I go bowling, then we have to go for a couple of martial arts classes or something like that. Let's see what he would say.
Yes, that certainly would be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it would be. I think he'd, I would assume that he'd outdo me in bowling, because I am not a bowler, and I'll assume that I would have done a little bit better with the fighting. But you never know.
No, you never do.
Okay, then, Roy. But other than that, a lot of fond memories, and I don't know when my next own radio repair is going to be, but it's not going to be the same without Andy. And I guess the regular issues of life will never, the conversations will never be the same for me. There's only one Andy, and there'll never be another one. So I'll dearly miss him, and I'll leave it at that. This is Handy Andy, N2HOH, and I'll deeply miss Master Radio Technician Andy for the rest of my life, N2HOH.
Thank you, Andy. We all appreciate your words, and I only wish Andy could kind of hear this transmission wherever he might be. Andy didn't have any, as far as I can tell, definitive ideas about a hereafter, but he had a sense that there was something after, that life can't just kind of blink out of existence. It's got to go someplace. So I hope for his sake that he was quite right in that feeling. So thank you, Andy. Once again, I'm AC2GS. This is the Limark Technical Net. This episode dedicated to the memory of Andy, WA2CDL. Is there anyone who would like to go next?
Yes, WB2BXO. How are you, Roy?
I'm fine, Frank. I hope you're fine as well.
I am. Thank you, Roy. And very sad to add the Bluetooth here. Shocked to hear when I turned on Echo Link earlier this evening that we'd lost another one of the key members of the TechNet family, so to speak. I've probably only spoken to Andy a handful of times, or certainly heard his Andy's Corner segment, which probably some of them are way beyond me. Anyway, it's people... Andy, and of course Dick, and K2KEY, Mel, who I did actually know rather well, and I also met Dick a couple of times, and hung out with Dick and Mel for hours on end at Field Day years ago. In any case, it's really people like Andy that justify ham radio as being in the public's interest, convenience, and necessity, and being the people who advance the radio art, even in things like AM, which some people call ancient modulation, but still has a role today. And it's Andy and the others who certainly contribute a lot more than people like myself, who just enjoy getting on and see how quickly we can work the XCC on FT8 or 30 meters or whatever. And with that, back to you, WB2BXO.
Okay, very good, Frank. Thank you. Andy was always kind of talking about technology. I mentioned already that he was thinking in terms of time syncing the repeaters so that they could operate on the same frequency and not cause any kind of distortion to the signal. He also was fascinated with the idea of microwave over fiber. He talked to me intermittently about setting something up where he would get a fiber optic link to a microwave transmitter at the top of a tower and not have to deal with the attenuation losses of regular transmission line. So he was always thinking that next step. So I will miss that. Thank you, Frank. Once again, I remain AC2GS. Is there anyone who would like to go next?
KB2VHD.
Yes, Jim, I was expecting you.
It's a heartfelt night tonight. I have rarely met somebody of Eddie's impact in my gut. I will miss him. I did not know him nearly as well as many, many of you, by even a small fraction. But this is a man that lived by his gut, his feelings, his emotions, and he did what he said he was going to do. Most impressed by this individual, and I feel like I absolutely missed the ball learning more from him. It's easy to talk about him from a technological standpoint. I'm going to drop for a second. Very easy to talk about him from a technology standpoint because he blew most of us away, certainly myself. But as a human being, he liked to talk to people, all kinds of people, all sorts of different sides of different spectrums and ideologies I'm at a loss for words. This guy was truly an extraordinary individual, and I think we miss that if we get all tangled up in the little ohms and volts. He was an absolutely extraordinary man on a human perspective. And I want to throw that out there for conversation.
Okay, Jim, I understand. I mean, if someone had, say, ripped up or burned a textbook full of information, we wouldn't be here tonight. So a man is the sum of all of his parts. I don't think you could remove the technical aspects from Andy and keep him Andy, but ultimately he was a human being, and we perceive him as a human being, and we loved him as a human being.
I agree wholeheartedly. He definitely had a way of bridging gaps between different groups, subgroups, philosophies. He just jumped over like a snowmobile or over a crack in the ice. Didn't let it interfere with his progress. I think his social characteristics exceed even his technical characteristics. trying to put this in words. He was a great man. I guess I can boil it down to, when I grow up, I want to be like Andy. So there's that.
Yes, I second that emotion, Jim. Yeah. He's a great man. He was a very open person. I think that's, if I had to put it into words, I think that's the way I would put it. You know, some people are kind of closed down. Some people are shut down tight. I think he was very open. And he did enjoy interacting with people. He was one of the most social people that I knew. You know, one of the things I think that hurt him a great deal was COVID and the social isolation and, you know, the lack of social contacts and interactions during those years. It really hurt him.
I would agree wholeheartedly. He seems to be one more of a list of family and friends that have died suddenly that perhaps there's an accounting for. But I will always, and I didn't know him very well. I'm a very recent entrant to his world. But I will always hold within my gut what he brought to a table of a conversation between people, normal, regular human beings. I enjoyed him as a fellow member of the human race. I hope we can gain something from that. Back to Roy.
I agree with you, Jim. He was a fellow traveler on this journey that we all take, even though we know the destination, but we take the journey nevertheless. And I enjoyed his companionship when I had it.
Well said. I think you got my point, and thank you for echoing it so well.
You're welcome, Jim. You know, this is a tribute in memory of Andy, who deserved this so much. And, you know, I only wish we could have given it to him when he was alive and listening, although it would probably embarrass him a little too much. So there's that as well. Once again, I remain AC2GS. This remains the Limark Technical Net. And is there anyone who would like to go next? Yes, Ruben.
Thank you, Roy. No, I'm still here listening. This is Ruben, KC2TNT in Brooklyn. No, I'm still listening over here to the comments and everything that's, you know, that people are saying. So, just to let you know, I enjoy listening. No problem.
Okay, we're glad to have you aboard, Ruben. Usually the technical net ends at around 11 o'clock, but if people want to talk, I'm more than happy to continue this until everyone is talked out. And so, you know, if you want, it continues as long as you want it to continue. So with that in mind, once again, I continue to be AC2GS. This continues to be the Limark Technical Net. If there's anyone who has anything that they would like to say and would like to go next, please hit that push to talk.
T2JRC.
Yes.
Good evening. I met Andy over 30 years ago when he was still working with the NYPD. And I'm an ICOM service center back then, and got to looking at the equipment together, and I've seen him at every HamFest, and a few months ago, he came over to another fellow from Limark, and that fellow went up and switched out my rotor, but I've been listening for a few hours, and not much else I can say. We're going to miss him. He's a great guy. So, K2JRC, we'll be 73 QRT WA2CDL 73s. Hope to see you on the other side.
Okay, thank you very much, Jerry, for your words. Is there anyone out there who would like to go next?